The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope you had a wonderful Labor Day weekend. We sure did. At our household, we had my middle daughter, Amy, and her husband, Travis, and her two boys, Jack and Chase. They came to visit us, came on Thursday night, and came to church with us on Sunday. We had a great Sunday lunch with the family. My youngest daughter, Sarah, wasn't able to make it, but we had a great time together. And Jack is 3 and Chase is 1, and they have another baby on the way. We're excited about that. And my oldest grandchildren, Emmy is 14, and Lyndon just turned 8, I think 8, yes, 8. And so it's just fun when everybody gets together, and we just had a great time. And it's, you know, it's nice to have that holiday. I wrote about that this week. You know, holidays are special and time off is special when you're working. When you quit working and every day's a holiday, you don't appreciate it because God made us with this rhythm to work and then rest. Well, yesterday, I ran across this on Twitter. It was a breaking news story, and it really caught my attention. Teacher Enoch Burke arrested at Wilson's Hospital School after refusing to endorse and affirm transgender ideology. This was in Ireland, and it says Judge Barry O'Donnell, who made almost 400,000 from 2016 to 2018 representing TUSLA as a barrister, ordered his arrest. That's a radical transgender group. TUSLA is the Irish State Child Protection Agency, with an organization saturated with LGBT ideology, urging staff recently to learn about cross-dressers and drag performers and making acceptance of LGBT and transgender ideology a condition for fostering children. That's the judge that's involved in that. And so they arrest this school teacher, Enoch Burke, because he teaches that there are two genders melded to two sexes, and never the twain shall meet. You're either XY male or XX female, and your sex is your gender, and your gender is your sex. And he was arrested for that, for teaching students that. That's considered hate speech. And, you know, I saw that and said, okay, that's Ireland. How long before that doesn't hit America? You know, it's already in California. They're already pushing that stuff very, very hard. The Biden-Harris administration wanted to have changes to Title IX, which would allow biological males to use the female restrooms and locker room facilities in public schools. It's a sick mess. Thank God that our Supreme Court, and because President Trump put 3 conservative justices on the Supreme Court, they voted against those changes to Title IX. But, you know, the two things that are critical for our country this November, and they're definitely on the ballot this November, have to do with abortion and transgenderism. And you have one candidate, a presidential ticket, that is all for abortion up until the 9th month, and one candidate that's not. You have one candidate that's all for the LGBTQIA plus agenda, and one candidate that is not radical like that. And so it matters what we do in November. And to help me with this discussion is my good friend Scott Coulter. Dr. Scott Coulter is the president of the Danbury Institute, the CEO and president of the Danbury Institute, an entity committed to unite like-minded men, women, and organizations and churches to pull their collective strength to effectively bring about positive progress in preserving life and liberty in the U.S. So, Dr. Coulter, thanks for being my guest today.
Good morning, Pastor. So glad to be with you today and your listeners. Always a pleasure.
Okay, so Scott, you saw that that news item about this teacher, Enoch Burke. What were your initial thoughts when you saw this guy getting arrested for the crime, quote unquote, of teaching that men are men and women are women?
Absolutely. This is actually the third time he's been arrested and jailed for that. And it was so telling to watch him in that clip there that's been viral on the internet for a couple of days now. Talking about he was fulfilling his duty to his students and that he has a duty to tell them the truth and to protect them. This is very much a religious liberty issue, and men like Enoch Burke here are standing in the gap, shielding children and shielding students from leftist and Marxist policies and progressive marks to our institutions that is for the harm of our children, for their detriment. And he was standing in defense of those children as men, as fathers, as pastors and teachers are called to do. And God bless him for that, for standing for truth, for standing for what was right, and for practicing and living according to his Christian faith. I'm tremendously proud of his courage and his commitment that was expressed there.
All right, Scott, so what do you say to the person that says, oh, that's in Ireland, well, that doesn't have anything to do with us, and, you know, when it comes to voting, it's not any different. If you vote Democrat, you vote Republican, it's really no difference. It's all just the same. What do you say to that person?
Well, you know, in so many movies, there's the common theme that takes place where a character writes a letter back to himself in time, and he's writing back to a younger version of himself. If I had known these things then, I would have acted differently. I think we're seeing that in so many places across the world today, that these countries that are perhaps older than America, further down the line of progressive ideologies than America is currently, are sending a message back to us that this is the path and the end result of the path down which we are headed. We're seeing that taking place in Venezuela today. We're seeing that taking place with the persecution of Armenian Christians in Armenia, and certainly here in Ireland as well. I would just say, for the record, this school, Wilson's Hospital School, was founded way back in the 1700s, originally as a Christian evangelical Protestant school. This was a place that was a boarding school for men and a men's hospital for the elderly there, and was founded and is still operated and maintained by the Christian Church of Ireland. And their documents, their governing documents, specify that gender is created by the Lord, that they are male and female. And so he's operating well within the realm of the Christian faith there, even what this school was established to promote and to teach. Also in Ireland, they have a constitution there similar to ours in the States that protects religious liberty. Article 44 of the Irish Constitution says that freedom of conscience and the free profession and practice of religion are subject to public order and morality guaranteed to every citizen. And that's what he's doing. He's professing and practicing his religion, his held views of conscience, and is being punished and persecuted for that in the state of Ireland. We have those same types of provisions and protections in our Constitution here in the United States, but this shows really in living color what happens when we abdicate our responsibility and begin to lose those protections for our religious practice of worship. And this is where a lot of this is headed in America if we don't rise up and take action to protect our religious views and our freedom to worship and to practice our religion according to Scripture in this country.
Well, you know, when you hear the rhetoric from the politicians, you have one candidate, one ticket that is all in the LGBTQIA plus, they just keep adding letters, agenda. And then the other platform seems to be courting that that group, but, you know, not to the same degree. It's sad that we are here in America and you don't have just one platform that says, hey, that stuff is wrong. And it's destroying lives. You know, Governor DeSantis is strong on that. We're not going to have that in our schools. Our governor here in Texas, not quite Governor DeSantis-esque, but along those same lines, wanting to protect our kids. That's a huge issue. And pastors, Scott, correct me if you think I'm wrong, pastors need to get on board with the fact that this may be a political issue, but first and foremost, it's a moral issue. And if we love people who are made in the image of God, we're going to stand up and protect them and not let them get run over by the LGBTQ bus.
You're absolutely correct. This is a moral issue. This is a biblical issue, a spiritual issue. Pastors cannot allow this to be relegated to the realm of the political. This is about what is good and evil in the world today. Isaiah 5:20 tells us, woe unto them who call evil good and good evil. Romans 12 talks about not being overcome by evil, but overcoming evil by good. Christians and pastors, fathers, men are called to stand for what is good, to be salt and light in the world around us today. So we don't have any choice but to engage on these issues. And absolutely, we need to be very clear. These are targeted at our children. You mentioned the two key issues today, the abortion issue, the sanctity of human life, and the transgender issue. Both of those are targeting children specifically. We've seen that time and time again. They're targeting children in the mother's womb. The most dangerous place to be a human is in your mother's womb. And if the left, and we used to call them Democrats, but now they're really radical, progressive Marxists. They've abandoned the principles of the Democratic Party. If they can't get your children in the womb, they will start attacking them as soon as they are born with transgender LGBTQ ideologies. We saw this on display with the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir in 2021 that came out during COVID there with a song that they now have said was satire or humor. But the lyrics to that were that we're coming for your children, we'll convert your children quietly and subtly. You won't even notice it. And really telling what they're doing there, telling this play, it's worth noting that the LGBTQ movement is not able to reproduce. They can't reproduce children of their own, and so they have no option but to convert our children, to attack our children. And so this is time for pastors, for men, for dads, for all of us to stand up in protect of our children. If Christians in the church can't be counted on to defend children, honestly, what good are they in the world today?
Yeah, great. Well said. Okay, now along those same lines, Scott, so we're talking about transgenderism and abortion, two key issues on the ballot. I ran across a video clip from a feminist Christian school ethicist. Her name is Rebecca Todd Peters. She serves as professor of religious studies at Elon University in North Carolina. That school was founded in 1889 by the Christian Connection, which later became part of the United Church of Christ. They have about 6,300 undergrad students, 826 grad students. 60% of the students are female. And this professor, Rebecca Todd Peters, is a Presbyterian preacher, pastor, and this is what she had to say.
If Jesus were here today, he would be a clinic escort, distracting women from the hatred of the protesters. Or an abortion doula, holding women's hands and offering support and love as they end their pregnancies. If Jesus were giving his sermon today, he might also have said, blessed are those who end pregnancies.
Lord,
I heard that, Scott. I'm sure you heard it. And I mean, it's just mind-blowing how somebody could, first of all, she doesn't need to be preaching anyway. I mean, that's a separate issue. But to put those words in the Lord's mouth and to present Jesus to the congregation as somebody who is pro-death, when the sixth commandment makes it clear, you shall not murder. What depth have we come to in America?
What the speaker there, I won't call her a preacher or a pastor, but what the speaker there has said is diabolically evil. It is once again Isaiah 5:20 calling evil good and good evil. Abortion is the murder of a child, and there is no greater evil that we are facing today in our society than that. To say that Christ would support that or encourage that is absolutely diabolically evil, and Christians must speak out about that. They must tell the truth against that. We must rise up with biblical truth and counter that in every way possible. There is simply no other task to which we can set our hand that is more pressing today than to speak out against the harm of our children. The Bible says in Matthew that it's better for one who will cause a child to stumble to have a millstone tied around his neck and be plunged into the ocean. And we must take that seriously and stand for our children in this hour.
It's just, it's unbelievable. It's that somebody would stand up and say that. The Lord is pro-life. He's for life. He wants us to stand up and fight for the unborn and fight for the rights of those who are not able to fight for themselves. So, Dr. Coulter, thank you so much for being my guest today. I appreciate your work, and I know you and your wife and the organization, Danbury Institute, are fighting hard for biblical values in our government, and we appreciate all your hard work.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. When we come back, we'll be talking to Dan Steiner of Preborn.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Well, we've been talking about the two key issues that are up for up on the ballot, so to speak, this November. Now, they're not two things we're voting on specifically, but we're voting on politicians from the top of the ticket all the way down, and they have views regarding transgenderism and abortion. So we need to know what those views are, and we need to vote accordingly. I heard Tim Wallman, as he was on Jenna's program just a little bit ago, and he said, you know, you can have two candidates that you don't like either one of them, but you look at the one that's going to be more in line with biblical values versus the other. And to just punt and say, well, I'm not going to vote, I'm just not going to get involved, that's like going to the restaurant and say, well, I'm not going to order, just give me whatever. And you know, that's not a smart thing to do. And we want to make sure that we are we're voting for people that are imperfect, two imperfect candidates, two very flawed individuals. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not to minimize candidates that might be very, very morally repugnant in their personal lives, but we do look to see what do you believe, what are you going to, how are you going to govern, and which one of those leaders will be more in line with the biblical worldview and biblical values versus the other. And when it comes to abortion, when it comes to transgenderism, those two things are critical because they destroy lives. If you can't destroy the life in the womb and kill the baby in the womb, then let's destroy their lives through the lie of transgenderism and, you know, hit you as a little kid, 10, 11, 12 years old, and wreck and ruin your life through surgery and drugs. And it's just awful. We need to tell kids the truth. The medical community needs to be, along with pastors and Christians, needs to be leading the way. The scientific community needs to be leading the way and just standing up and say, this is insanity. You cannot change your chromosomal makeup. And what your chromosomes say is who you are, XY male, XX female. Well, we have a brand new book out from one of our partners, Dan Steiner, the founder and president of Preborn. And we're trying to get him on the line. Randy, do we have him? Well, we don't have him. Well, let me just mention the book. It's called Well Done, The Secret to Securing Heaven's Rewards. Hearing Jesus say, well done. You might have heard they played a clip from His Heart just at the break where I said, you know, that's the desire of every true Christian. We want to be able to stand before our Lord at the end of our lives and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, you probably hear that phrase used in many, many funerals, and it's not true for every Christian. We want it to be true, but you have to be faithful. If you're not faithful, then He's not going to say that. It's required in stewards. I did a funeral on Friday for a dear, dear friend, Bill Vail, one of our deacons, the chairman of the deacons, one of the finest guys I've ever known. And I said, you know, based on how Bill lived his life, he lived it for the well done. And he was faithful. In any position that we put him in, he was faithful. He took responsibility. He did it to the best of his ability. You just knew that if Bill was in charge of it, it was going to get done, and it was going to get done well with a great attitude. And he just dealt well with people. And I believe that when he died on Sunday, he died last Sunday, that he heard the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Well, that book is out. You can check it out. Hopefully, we'll get Dan on the program soon. We're having a little bit of phone trouble to try and get him on. I do want to revisit what was said. I played that clip from this woman, Rebecca Todd Peters, a feminist from the Christian school ethicist who serves as professor of religious studies at Elon University in North Carolina, to try and say that Jesus would be all for the termination of a pregnancy. They use terminology that just softens the blow. They don't want to say, hey, Jesus would be all for the brutal murder by dismemberment of the unborn. But if you look at the pictures of what takes place in an abortion clinic, that's exactly what happens. They brutally murder the unborn by ripping them to pieces, and they pull the baby out piece by piece by piece. And how do they know when they're finished with the abortion? They can put the baby back together again. It is sick. It is grotesque. It is brutal and gruesome and barbaric. It is just such a terrible, horrible evil. And the idea that this is just a lump of cells is such a lie. And women are believing it. And doctors participating in that, Adrian Rogers used to say, a person that would do something like that has the devil's initials carved in his heart. It's just awful beyond belief. And so we do need to stand up and speak up for the rights of the unborn. And abortion is, in my view, and I put transgenderism in there too because it destroys lives. Those two things outweigh and outpace so many other things that we must consider as we're getting ready to vote. And people say, well, it doesn't really make a difference, you know. So you have the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and we still have all these abortions. That's a legitimate point, but here's the thing. You don't want to vote, knowingly vote for a candidate who is telling you up front, hey, I am for this. Up until the ninth month, I am for abortion. They don't call it abortion. They call it reproductive rights. Just sounds so much better than the brutal murder by dismemberment of the unborn. And these evangelicals for Harris, that's what you're supporting. All those who signed up for Evangelicals for Harris, you're supporting the brutal murder by dismemberment of the unborn. Your candidate is all for that. Your candidate is all for pushing this transgender insanity. It makes absolutely no sense at all. And how a Christian could justify that. And they'll go back to, Donald Trump he's evil, he's wicked, he's a Nazi, he's Hitler, he's all these things that they throw at him. And as I've said many, many times, it bears repeating, look to see how the person governed. The proof is in the pudding. What was President Trump's presidency like when he was inaugurated into office in 2017? It wasn't any of these things that they're saying about him. And look to see what the Biden-Harris presidency is like. You know, this idea that, hey, if you make me president, I'm going to change things on day one. It's like, well, you're in there now. And Biden is just biding his time. So you should be able to do whatever you want as far as get together with Joe and say, hey, we want to bring down costs. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to better things for the American people. Why do you have to wait until January to do that? You can do that now. And the reason that you're not doing it now is because all you have is rhetoric. And so you don't look at the rhetoric, you look at the results, you look at the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. You can talk a big game about how great your pudding is. The thing that really makes the difference is, well, let me taste it. Because you say it's the greatest pudding to have ever, you know, ever been made, and I taste it and I get sick. It's awful. And so talk is cheap, and results matter. Well, I don't know if we're going to get Dan Steiner on the line, but I just want to tell you about his book while we are in the neighborhood here, released in says a report released in 2024 from George Barna shows that 66% of adults consider themselves to be Christians, yet 4% of all adults and only 6% of the self-identified Christians possess a biblical worldview. That is a great concern. The world needs Jesus, but many refuse to acknowledge that he is the one who holds the answers. Now is the time for believers to rise and answer the call given to us in the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Dan Steiner, founder and president of the world-renowned pro-life ministry called Preborn, understands that call and is challenging believers to live life from a heavenly perspective in hearing Jesus say, "Well done," the secret to securing heaven's rewards. And so you're going to find out in this book, what does it mean to live a life pleasing to God? What is the importance of bringing increase to God's kingdom? How will God evaluate our lives, work in heaven, and what are the rewards waiting for us there? What is at the core of overcoming, and why is it so crucial? What is the biggest challenge to American Christianity? Sounds like a great, great read. Let me just say this. This middle question, how will God evaluate our life's work in heaven, and what are the rewards waiting for us there? I had a lady ask me the other day, she was talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and she said, I heard a sermon, and the pastor said, you know, when we die, we're going to stand before the Lord, and he is going to show us all our sins, and we're going to have to give an account of all the terrible things that we did, even as Christians. And it's going to be an awful experience if we lived for self, sin and self, rather than for the Lord as believers. And she asked me, she said, is that the way that works? And I said, I don't believe that's the way that works. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. And so this is the way I understand the great white throne, or the judgment seat of Christ, called the Bema judgment. And the Bible talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we read these words, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, whether good or worthless." Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, I believe he refers to this again, and he said, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation," this is talking about how we live our Christian life. "If any man builds upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ," that's how all of us are saved, faith and trust in Jesus, repentance and faith. "If you build with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire." Now, I believe that's the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema judgment. It was where returning athletes and warriors would go, and they would be honored before the magistrate in the city. The judgment seat of Christ is not designed to be a beat-down session. It's not designed to say, hey, you failed here and failed here and failed here and failed here. What a miserable Christian you were. No, it's designed to reward us. I remember when I worked in the chemical business, we had an annual sales meeting, and we'd all get together as salesmen, and they would have the awards night. And if you had a good year, and your sales were such that they hit those levels where they were recognized, you were recognized among your peers as somebody who really stood out. And when you had a good year, you looked forward to the annual meeting. Now, if you had a bad year, they didn't call you out and say, now here comes Jeff Shreve. He had a terrible year. Look, he didn't increase his territory any. Let's all laugh at him and point at him. No, it wasn't like that at all. Your name just wasn't called. You didn't get fired from the company, but they would highlight those guys who did well, and it was motivation for the ones that didn't do well to, hey, next year I want them to recognize me. Well, at the Bema judgment, the great judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will recognize us for faithful service. And when we do the good works, gold, silver, precious stone, those are things done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wood, hay, and straw, stubble, that's what's done in the power of the flesh. Anything done in the power of the flesh will be burned up. You know, you can do bad things in the flesh, or you can do good things in the flesh. It doesn't matter. That which is of the flesh is flesh. Anything done in the flesh, you preach in the flesh, you teach in the flesh, you sing in the flesh, you lead in the flesh, that's going to be burned up. What matters and what lasts is things done in the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of the Lord. Those things matter. And the day will show it. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. What do you have that remains? It's to be revealed with fire. The fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And when your work remains, when it was done in the power of the Holy Spirit, it is gold, silver, precious stone. It lasts and stands the test of fire. And if it's wood, hay, and straw, it'll be burned up. You're not going to lose your salvation, because your salvation is the foundation. It's Jesus Christ. But you will lose your reward. Hey, we want to live a life where Jesus can say to us, well done, my good and faithful slave. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, I'd love to hear from you. We've been talking about the situation regarding two moral issues that are have become political issues, and the intersection between morality and politics, abortion and transgenderism, those things are critical. Those destroy lives, and we are called to stand up and to be counted. We appreciate the fact that that school teacher in Ireland is willing to be arrested for teaching his students the truth. And we need to be strong enough to stand up and speak the truth in love, and to call people out that don't do that. And you know, Jesus said, I told the church Sunday, we were talking about being more like Christ, and how, you know, Jesus was so loving, and if we're loving, the world will love us. And that is such a lie. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus said in John chapter 7 to his brothers, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil, and they don't come to the light. They hate the light. And so Christians are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He lives in us. We are the light of the world. We're a city set on a hill. We're the salt of the earth, and we are supposed to make a difference in this world. And Christianity is not just something that is easy for everybody to hear, and we're just kumbaya, we just love everybody, and God's a big ball of mush. He doesn't have any standards or requirements. It's just, you know, just come as you are. He's just this elderly grandfather that just welcomes everybody in, and that's just not true. The Lord has standards. I preached Sunday from Luke chapter 9, where you had these would-be disciples that had conditions. Jesus said, follow me. And one guy said, well, permit me first to bury my father. Seems reasonable, until you understand that that was a saying in Israel. That was a colloquialism. His father wasn't dead. He's just saying, hey, I need to hang around until my dad dies and take care of him and take care of his estate and to make sure that I get my share, and then I'll follow you. You know, we have this idea that, Jesus, following Jesus is important, but it's not near as important as other things. Well, if you have anything more important than following Jesus, your value system, your priority system is all upside down. He himself needs to have first place in everything, Colossians chapter 1 tells us. Everything in our lives, he needs to be first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And listen, my problem, your problem, our problem. All of us have the same issue. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to let other things become more important than our relationship with Jesus, than seeking him first, than glorifying him, whether you eat or drink. Romans or 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is our job, to glorify the Lord. We're on this earth for one main purpose, and that is to witness, as Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended to heaven. But it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. We are to witness by our life, the way we live, through our lips to the Lord Jesus, and let people know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him, and we are to call men to repentance. God is now declaring to all men everywhere, Acts 17, that men should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And so our job is to shine and share and say to men and women, boys and girls, listen, you're on the highway to hell without Jesus. You need to repent, turn from sin, and put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. That is true love. All this other stuff under the guise of love, We love people, so we're going to hold their hand while they have their abortion. We're going to cheer them on while they have their sex change operation. That's not love at all. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. It rejoices with the truth. We need to tell people the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Joe.
Good morning.
I just have a question to ask you. Is any kind of legal team to help him and help him to maybe to get out of jail? I hope he does. I want to ask everyone in the sound of my voice to pray for him. Mm-hmm. He needs some kind of legal assistance. Is anyone there to help him at all? How do you know?
Well, I don't know that. That's in Ireland. I'm assuming so, but I don't know. That's the situation with the school teacher Enoch Burke, arrested at Wilson's Hospital School after refusing to endorse and affirm transgender ideology. I would assume that he has some people helping him, some Christians there helping him, but I don't know that for sure. But the point of the matter is what is happening there. I like to say, coming to a theater near you. If you don't stand up against that stuff, it will come, and it will put people that stand up for the truth, it will put them in the crosshairs of the liberal justice system that will want to prosecute and incarcerate because you don't knuckle under. And I like what that was said when they were arresting him. You know, the officers were saying, hey, we're just doing our duty. He said, it's not your duty to enforce a wicked law or something to that effect. You're not doing your duty to do something wrong. And, you know, it's just like the SS and those who worked for Hitler and those who were doing, quote unquote, doing their duty by arresting Jews and exterminating the Jews. That is a violation. Romans 13, hey, you support the government until the government oversteps its bounds, and then you back off of that and say, I can't do that, and this is wrong. And so nobody in law enforcement is commissioned by God to do what is wrong. We do what is right by God, not what is wrong by God. So that is the issue there. But I appreciate that, Frank. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to the program. We have Sam on the line from Louisiana. Sam, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, I think it's interesting that the cry for abortion is, this is my body, and I'll do with it as I choose, which I think is a satanic institution, where Jesus said, this is my body, which was given for you. Do this in memory of me.
Yeah.
So I think that we're, you know, that the person who receives abortion is Satan. That it is a sacrifice to Satan. Yeah. This is my body, and I will, you know, I'll do it what I want. But as far as the receiving goes, that Satan receives it.
Right.
As did the offering of the children in the scriptures too.
Right. Yeah, they would offer their sons and their daughters in the fire to the false god Molech. Also the false god Chemosh would do that child sacrifice. And if you've seen the pictures of that false god, the hands are outstretched and the fire is in the belly, and you put the child in the hands and they're burned up. It is sickening. And God's people were doing that. King Manasseh did that. And because of that, the Lord brought judgment upon his people that was irreversible. It was that set things in motion that, regardless of the reforms that came, it was not going to change the situation for his people. I think that I talked to a friend of mine just the other day. I said, in America, we're praying for revival. But now, I don't think that that's necessarily going to change things as far as the trajectory of our country. I think it'll change things for individuals for sure, because when people repent, God responds to that. But it may not change things for our country. I think our country has been given over, Romans chapter 1, sexual immorality, homosexual immorality, a depraved mind. And I don't know if we are going to come back from that as a nation. But as individuals, hey, we have the hope of the gospel to preach to every single person. And if you'll come out from among them and be separate as Christians and shine and share, God will use you. And there are people in your circle of influence, in my circle of influence, that we can reach with the good news of Jesus and see their lives changed and see them get ready for the Lord's soon return. So I appreciate that, Sam. It's a good observation. We have Pam on the line from Texas. Pam, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello. I've got a question for you, and I love your show, Pastor Reeve. God bless you for it.
Thank you.
And I try to do as much as I can. I have several friends that are Jewish, and one of them is a pediatrician, and she promotes the transgender of children and abortions, and I don't understand why they are doing this. How can they, I don't understand it. Where is this coming from? And my son, who lives up in New York, he said the Jewish community up there is so pro Kamala, it's unbelievable. He said, Mom, you just have no idea. And it just shocks me to no end that this is the stand they're taking. And is this something that's more biblical towards the end that they're doing this, or you know, I'm just hoping you can shed some light on it.
Well, it's a good question. It doesn't make any sense, but that is part of God giving people over to a depraved mind. That's a mind that doesn't function anymore. Compute things right anymore. So when you have a depraved mind, a mind that is reprobate, as it says in the King James, it doesn't add up 2 + 2 = 4. And so they will argue for things that make absolutely no sense. So any medical doctor that would argue for transgenderism, that males can become females and females can become males, well, that goes against science, that goes against scripture, that goes against common sense. And it, you know, if you took that person back just 25, 30 years ago, people would say, well, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that. If you saw the documentary that Matt Walsh did, What is a Woman, you know, where he goes to Africa and he's talking to some of these guys that are in the bush and tribesmen, and he's asking them about a man becoming a woman and a woman becoming a man, and they look at him like he's from outer space. They're like, what is that? You know, that can't happen. I mean, that it's just so foreign to them, because they haven't been given over to a depraved mind. But God has done that, I believe, in America and so many other places around the world, just given over. And so your mind doesn't work right anymore. And you will vehemently argue, this is how crazy it is. You'll argue that we need to protect whales that are pregnant, but we need to support women that are pregnant who want to destroy their pregnancy. And my body, my choice. Even though it's very, very clear, it's not your body. It's a body inside your body, and it's going to be inside your body until 9 months, and then at 9 months, it leaves your body. It's another body. And the whole argument, my body, my choice, is ridiculous. That doesn't logically make sense. And that's the difficulty. We're dealing with a spiritual deception, and the devil is at work in the minds and hearts of people. And what we have is we stand with the word of God, 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We don't let the world squeeze us into its mold, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We stand firm on the truth of God's word. We renew our minds through the reading of Scripture and the meditation of Scripture, and we keep ourselves focused in on true north, and God's word is true north. So I appreciate that, Pam. We just keep shining and sharing, and we just keep telling people the truth. And God takes it from there. And we can't make people believe, but we can sure be evidence of the fact that God's word is true and the Holy Spirit does change lives. And the Lord will save anybody who will come to him in repentance and faith. So I appreciate you calling in. I'm sorry, Ron in Michigan and Ron in Tennessee, we did not get to you. We are out of time, but thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's always a joy for me to get to share with you, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And you can connect with me, Pastor Jeff, at fromhisheart.org, or connect on the X platform at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.